Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, January 25th, 2017. With me today is Kelly Goumont. And how are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I am well. Thanks for being here. It's always great when you're here. And John Martellaro, thank you for being here, too.
Hey, it's cool. January's almost gone. Hard to believe.
Oh, man. It's on one hand, it feels like time is just flying by this year. And on the other hand, it feels like it's dragging so slowly. Hey, on a happy note, we have a sponsor, Blue Apron. And we'll be talking about them in a bit because, don't want to go hungry. So the first thing I want to talk about today is a piece that you wrote, John. And it's what you were doing was trying to give us some perspective on the sales figures that were, or reports that we're seeing for Macs. And the gist of it is that people are saying that Mac sales are down overall. And down like 10%?
Yes, they are.
And
exactly.
So of course, now I'm assuming that Apple is doomed, and I'm betting you're about to set me straight.
Well, maybe. It's
all right, I'm sitting down.
It's never good when our favorite company shows declining sales. We spent the last quarter of 2016 talking about the future of the Mac and getting a reaffirmation from Tim Cook that the new desktops are on the way. It's been a complicated picture. What I tried to do in the article is, instead of writing a lot of free text, which is hard to put in perspective because there's so many different elements to this. There's shipments versus sales. There's fourth quarter 2016 versus fourth quarter 15. There's total shipments for 16 versus total shipments for 15. And when you start flowing into free text in an article, at least I find it's hard to keep track of U.S. sales versus global shipments and so on. So what I tried to do was digest the IDC and Gartner reports at a high level, kind of figure out what the general trends were, and then do a PowerPoint, like, forgive me, a PowerPoint, like,
we prefer the
bullet
chart.
Well, what I mean is, PowerPoint or keynote slide points are usually frowned upon for presentations. But in this case, it seemed useful to isolate some key ideas. So PC shipments were down in 2016 compared to 15, but a couple of companies did pretty well. HP and Dell did better than the industry as a whole and actually had a small growth. There are some elements to the PC industry that are changing. All of the Windows 8 machines are depleted. Gardner had predicted that Windows 10 would, and the need for upgrades would breathe some new life into the PC shipments in 2017. So we probably kind of bottomed out as a result of the Windows 8 disaster. Apple's total shipments for 2016, it does not appear could. The MacBook Pro that was just announced in 2016 could not offset the general decline. And that's realistic because there were no new iMacs announced in 16, no new Mac Minis, no new Mac Pros. So you wouldn't expect that MacBook Pros sold in one quarter would be able to offset the losses. And so that brings up the question of, can Apple turn that around in 2017? Do they want to?
My question is if they're interested in doing so, only because, remember, the company that we're talking about is the company that tried to lead the charge into the post-PC era. So there's a certain amount of that going on. And I think also a lot more computing is happening that doesn't necessarily happen at a traditional computer. So I think iPads are eating into that a little bit. Everybody who mostly uses their computer for email and got a Kindle that checks that they can check their email on, and maybe is doing a lot more of it there. So when you don't spend as much time at the computer itself, you don't notice as much that it's gotten a lot older, that it's gotten a lot slower, that maybe it's a little more out of date.
Before you go on, Kelly, though, I must tell you that I quoted a comment from Tim Cook, who said, some folks in the media have raised the question about whether we're committed to Mac desktops. If there's any doubt about that with our teams, let me be very clear. We have great desktops in our roadmap. Nobody should be worried about that.
Right. So, I'm not worried about it at all. But what I'm thinking is that this sort of reminds me of the same thing we heard about the iPad, as the iPad has sort of settled into a longer upgrade life between machines than the iPhone, you know, where everybody was buying a new one every 2 years, you know, or even every year. I think there's a certain number of people who that number is a lot longer. The life of that machine is a lot longer. And I don't think it's necessarily that Apple is forsaking those machines. I think it's more that people are forsaking those machines. And so it's not necessarily the tragedy that it used to be if you sat down in front of a 2-year-old computer. You know, a lot of things happen on the web now. And if all you really need is a reliable web browser and a good internet connection to do the thing that you want to do when you sit down in front of your computer, you don't always notice, you know. And a lot of gaming has shifted away from even PCs and onto dedicated devices. So people aren't necessarily buying a new graphics card for even their Windows machine every 6 months like it used to be in the olden days. So I wonder if part of this is just that computers have really, like I always said that I wanted it to happen, computers have turned into microwaves, you know, and toasters, where it's just a utility device. And every once in a while you kind of go, yeah, I can't remember when we bought this, so maybe we should get a new one, as opposed to, I can't wait another 2 months to get a new computer, or, you know, whatever it is.
You know,
we've seen the side effects of that strategy. Competitors sensing Apple losing interest in moving in. Buyers being unable to predict when they'll be able to replace older machines and being frustrated. So there's some side effects that are occurring as a result of this that are new, and we're trying to deal with it.
You know, so we have Tim Cook saying we shouldn't worry about the future of the Mac. And he says they're very committed to the Mac. Okay, that's great. But based on the way people have been feeling over the past year, Tim needs to do more than say we have great desktops on our roadmap.
Yeah.
Apple really needs to follow through and show us some really amazing products. Now, I personally really like the Touch Bar MacBook Pro, but I know there are a lot of people out there that think that this is a disappointing computer for whatever reason. Yesterday, I forgot to plug in my computer to the power supply. Mm-hmm. 8 hours later, my computer shuts down, and I'm freaking out thinking my brand new computer just died. No, it turns out that the battery lasted only 8 hours with the computer running nonstop. And so I certainly can't complain, except that I didn't see an alert saying, hey, your computer's about to shut down. But what's my point? My point is Apple released what I think is a really nice computer, but they haven't done enough to show the vocal part of their audience that they really are following through, and they have great Mac support and a great Mac roadmap. We need
but
to
here's
see
my question. Is that it seems like there are a certain faction of those people who are never going to be happy. Well, we've introduced an entirely new computer. Well, why did it have to be all new? What was wrong with what you were already doing? Fail. Okay, well, we've released something that's a much more refined version of the one that we already have. Well, that's stupid. Why didn't you release anything new? Fail. So there's always going to be people who are never going to be happy. So I'm actually in a weird way sort of glad that Apple doesn't tend to court those people. But at the same time, like you, I wish that maybe we would get not necessarily an original iPhone address, where Steve rolls out with a new device and says, look at this. Isn't it amazing? It's the first week of January. You can get your hands on one in June.
Yeah, that kind of
hurt. Because that was kind of far. But to be able to say something more obvious, and like, honestly, what is it gonna hurt? You know, even when people can sort of predict what Apple's gonna do, which is probably make a new iPhone and release it in the fall, you know, people still buy iPhones in the summer. So it almost seems like they really need to let us, you know, Tim needs to open the kimono a little bit, and we need to get a little bit of a peek inside, and not just, I promise you it's going to be awesome, but here's what it looks like, or it's going to have this new processor, and we're looking at later this year. And I understand that maybe the whole AirPod thing made them a little gun shy and doing stuff like that, but I still feel like we need to get a clearer idea, at least right now. Most of the time I don't care, and it's totally fine with me because I'm not a person trying to make budgeting decisions or anything. So I don't usually care whether or not Apple tells me what they're up to. But I feel like at this point, given the output that we've seen in the last 12 to even 24 months, that there's a little bit more explanation that we need to get. And, you know, the thing about it is that I think, given how brutal people are towards Apple in the first place, I can understand why Tim Cook may not want to come out and go, yeah, we found out that the batteries in the AirPods were the same ones that were in the Samsung Galaxies, and so we had to basically scrap all of them and start over again, and that's why they're late. People would be like, oh, okay. Like, nobody would care if we got an explanation.
Yeah, they'd be glad that their heads didn't explode.
Right, and they'd be happy for the explanation. More than happy to cut some slack and understand that there's a delay. Now that I know why, it feels better than just, they're going to ship someday. Aren't you glad you gave us your credit card number? Mwahaha. So I kind of feel like at this point, I feel like we're a little bit owed. And, you know, no, it's not sexy to have a supply chain problem, and it's not a great thing to come out and announce. But sometimes you have to come out and announce, and you have to come out and say, this is the thing that we're doing. You can't have it yet. And people, I think, will be a lot more understanding if they were to do something like that now. Like, they come out and say, here you go, you can have it in April. Even, you know, even that, people would be like, woo! And all of the people who have wanted a new Mac Pro, for example, would be really excited about it. All the people who are standing in Microsoft stores going, well, Apple's never going to give me another Mac Pro, are going to go home and keep saving pennies. So it seems like a much better way to adjust expectations.
Well, we got a little bit of insight into a situation from Mark Gurman a few months ago, maybe in December, when he talked about how Apple had failed the Mac. Tim wasn't paying attention. Some key engineers left. Bob Mansfield was reassigned to the Titan Car project. So there was some internal lack of direction and focus that Tim is probably seeking to address right now. Also, they're probably having a bit of a fit with Intel's roadmap. And also, don't forget, they're going to be bringing on the new file system in 2017, APFS.
Oh,
and
right.
So there's a lot of things.
Oh, I heard it's so coming like next.
Are you going to ship new Macs with HFS Plus? Or are you going to wait? Mm-hmm. Are there architectural issues? Are there SSD compatibility issues to work out before you ship new Macs with APFS? Do you have the right engineers in place to do that? I can see how it would be a really interesting technical management issue to pull this all together.
That may be solving itself, because I thought I saw this morning that the next developer beta of Sierra has the new file system in it.
Well, I thought it was already there for developers to test.
Okay, so yeah, so it's at least as end users go, it's totally coming. And, you know, I don't even have to stand on tiptoe to see that. So I agree on the technical end, but I still do feel like there's more that could be done. And I understand not wanting to be a company that just gives their customers lip service. But at the same time, like, it's never occurred to me that Apple would tell me something that was inaccurate or untrue just to make me feel better. Like, that's never been who they are. So I wish that we would get a little bit more, you know, boring stuff. Supply chain says
it's on the radar now. You know, I think after all the fuss and all the bad press and all the tried and true Apple enthusiasts who have written critical articles, you know, it used to be that it was just the PC guys who would do this. Yeah. And then we would all say, well, they're full of nonsense.
Malarkey.
even the most ardent Mac supporters have pointed out some of these issues. So it's got to be on Apple's radar. And it could be that the new MacBook Pros are just the beginning of a new line of thinking, and with Kaby Lake coming out.
I hope so.
I think it's going to get better in 2017. That's my hope and my guess.
All right. So before we move on, I'm just going to toss this out here. What I'm expecting is going to happen this year is that we're going to see at least a couple new Macs that have substantially new features. And when these products roll out, we're going to have two camps of people in the echo chamber. The one camp that says, okay, now I get why it took Apple so long to get these new computers out, and wow, aren't they great? And then the other camp will be, okay, those are nice, but Apple still should have released something earlier. This is still a fail.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes back to what you were saying, Kelly. There's just no pleasing some people. So now we get to just watch closely, see what comes up in the rumor mill, and then what Apple officially announces. And then by the end of this year, we'll be able to decide if Apple nailed it or not. Okay, so we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Blue Apron. And I was talking with one of my friends last night about Blue Apron. Like, seriously, I am not making this up. And I went over to a friend's house, and I was helping her get her new cable modem set up. And she reaches over on the counter and says, check this out. And she hands me a recipe sheet from Blue Apron. And she says, I loved this. I'm keeping it. And it was a catfish recipe thing. And she had enjoyed the recipe so much that she kept the sheet that showed all the ingredients and had all the instructions for preparing the food so that she could go to the grocery store and buy the ingredients and make it again. That's how much she enjoyed it. So I thought that was totally awesome. And I loved that the recipe sheet or instruction sheet, whatever you want to call it, was printed so beautifully, and it's on a heavy stock paper that's coated, so it's durable and it's going to hold up in your kitchen. And it's divided up. Side one, you have all the ingredients and a basic overview. Side two, step-by-step instructions with photographs, how to make the whole meal. It was really awesome. And she had several other Blue Apron meals and had loved every single one of them. And it was just really cool to get to talk with someone else, just to give me a little bit of a reality check to make sure that I wasn't just in this little bubble where I'm thinking this is really great and no one else was. Nope, it turns out a lot of people like this, and I'm so glad that I have cool friends that are enjoying this too. And I'd love for all of you, dear readers, to get to enjoy Blue Apron. So what you can do is go and place an order. And when you do, you'll get three of the meals in that order for free. And to make that happen, you go to blueapron.com/TDO, blueapron.com/TDO. And when you do that and you sign up for a week's worth of meals, three of those will be free, which is really awesome. And all the food that they send you, by the way, I didn't even tell you that part. They actually just send you all the ingredients so you can make everything. It's fresh ingredients delivered right to your door. It's amazing. And you open it up and you pull it out. It's as if you found the perfect shopping buddy to go to the grocery store and get you exactly what you need. It's wonderful. So go to blueapron.com/TDO and order yourself some meals. You get the first three, four free, and you get free shipping as well. It's an awesome thing. The food is great. You totally need to check it out. BlueApron.com/TDO. Thank you, Blue Apron, for being our sponsor today. Okay, we are almost out of time, but before we go, I want to get your opinions. So we know that Apple is getting ready to finally add the ability for developers to respond directly to customer comments on the App Store. And
hooray!
Yeah, that's kind of what I expected you'd say, Kelly. Hooray. And John, what do you think?
Hooray! About time.
Yeah, it's about time. I agree. This is something that should have been there a long time ago. And my guess is that it's just been a low priority for Apple because they didn't feel it was necessary.
Well, but one of the things I've noticed when I look at reviews, because often when I'm reviewing a piece of software, I'll talk to the developer and I'll read a professional review of it, if it exists. And then I'll go look at the reviews by the users and they'll say, well, it crashed on me the first time I used it. I asked for my money back. Or somebody will say, well, it didn't work. And or I'll see something that exhibited some real frustration, but maybe inexperience with iOS or unrealistic demands or maybe a lack of appreciation for some difficulties they have with their operating system. And maybe they needed to reboot after they installed it. You know, we all learn some little tricks. We learn that there's some little things that can go wrong, but to immediately lash out against a developer when the very next comment will say, wow, this is the best app I've ever used. The developer's a genius. So there's this odd disconnect in continuity between the character of the reviews and mostly based, I think, on wrong expectations or inexperience on the part of the user who's too quick on the trigger to complain. And often that's something you see as a user who's thinking about, you know, buying the app, and you see this off-putting comment and you think this is a true factual global fundamental characterization of the app when it may not be and probably isn't a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. The part I've heard this time with
it's useful for the developer to be able to come back and say, well, he didn't do such and such, or that there was a conflict that with this other app, or maybe, but that doesn't happen on iOS, but something like that, where the developer could say, hey, let me help you. I'll guide you through this. We'll figure it out.
All right, Kelly, you were trying to say something, so hop to it before I have to wrap us up.
So for me, the thing about this is that most people have seen when they submit an actual review, not just the stars, but you write a review. This is the thing that this app does for me, and does it well or does it poorly, whatever. That it says like it gets reviewed before it goes up in the App Store. And the reason that that continues to confound me is because I see reviews all the time that are things like a one star review. And that gets counted against this person because the reviewer didn't like The Shade of Green. Like, why is that a review that gets to go up on the App Store? And I find that it's very frustrating to have to try to wade through the reviews because you have to discount the 5-star ones that are like, so great. Cause that could be, you know, astroturfing. And then you have to like figure out which of the 1-star reviews are, I don't like the icon, and mm-hmm. how many are, this app says that it's an integral part of a PDF creation workflow and it falls over every single time I try to use it the way the video on the website says that I can. You know, those are the kind of things that I think need to be addressed. And, you know, I don't understand why, why those are reviews that get to go out on the App Store. And the thing that is sort of disappointing to me is the number of developers I know who are one person shops. So they're doing all of their own support. They're doing all of their own code. They're doing all of their own testing, you know, mm-hmm. and having to do all of this basically themselves. And now they get to go fend off trolls in the App Store on top of all of this, because there's going to be people who are going to still post the knee-jerk review. you know, and it's not necessarily going to help the person who posts the knee-jerk review, and the developer has to go in and go, you need to contact support about this. You need to contact support about this. You need to contact support about this. I almost feel like before you're able to submit a review, you should get a dialogue that comes up and says, you know, you said the word problem in your app 6 times. Do you just need the developer's support page instead? You know, or something. Because I really want this to be better, but I think it's been a problem for so long that I don't know how fixing it now is going to help anything.
Well, I hope you're being irrationally pessimistic about this.
And I'm usually a super optimist, and I'm trying to find the upside in this. And aside from being able to get responses, you know, being able for me to be able to see those responses to those reviews, I think is helpful.
Yeah. And I think I've been irrationally optimistic about this. But as you've been talking, I'm tempering my perspective on this, and I'm thinking, maybe this has some good features, but it may end up also being an albatross around developers' necks. We'll see. Hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Kelly, I am so glad that you are here today.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And John, I am so glad you are here too.
It was a pleasure. Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
Aw. And Blue Apron, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, blueapron.com/TDO, and pick up your order. Get some good food. First 3 meals are free, and you won't even pay shipping. It's pretty awesome. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.